What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Bedrosian throws to Sandberg, and the pitch is grounded to second base. Thompson has it, throws to first. It's over! 27 years of waiting have come to an end. The Giants have won the pennant.
It is Thompson to Clark. As before we were recording, I told Brad, I have this new intro thing for the video show, and I got to figure out how to time it. And I timed it half a second too late. So
that's fine. I was rocking out. That is metal. I like that intro.
That's my my buddy, Justin Nipper, who he does all of our intro songs. So for the podcast version of this show, you will hear a little bit of KMBR. And then we have our song, and he made that. He does all of the audio for all of the shows on BSPN. I think his actual degree is in music theory or something. So he's an excellent musician.
And that's awesome, man. I like that. Well, tell him thank you very much, man. Because that, I like the other one too, but I like that one because it's got a little, it got me up. I was like, hey, let's go.
Yeah, exactly. all right. So what are we going to talk about today? Well, I think if you have been listening to this show pretty much for the whole season, and I kind of sense that this is Giants fans in general right now, we just never believed in competing in the way that other teams, the Dodgers fans, when they saw their team, they were like, yep, we're in it. We're going to be in it to the end. Our team is built for that. And for us, we were like, we understand. We enjoy the effort. There's going to be lots of things that have to happen. But hey, you know, we're going to root and compete until they tell us not to. I have a feeling that they're starting to tell us not to right now. However, I was looking into some stuff, and we'll talk about this in a bit. I wanted to see how the Giants ended seasons in the Farhan era, because it just seems like they start out okay, and then in the tail end, as we are competing for a wild card, they kind of fall off. And in some instances, that is absolutely true, and in others, it hasn't been true. But this season, they have just had a magnetic field towards being average. They are, again, 66-66 with 30 games left to go. I think last year they finished 81-81. It was either last year or the year before. Let me double check here. No, the year before, 2022, they finished 81-81. Last year, 79-83. And we're headed right towards that for the third year in a row. And I think, you know, this is a opportunity for us to go, we've kind of been right on the vibe of this season. And what is your expectation for the last 30 games here? And really, the easy part of their schedule, which we were hoping they were going to utilize to jump a few games over 500, they didn't. They just played to average. And here we are going into the last part of the last 30 games, and it's not easy. It's not going to be easy at all, including this week in Milwaukee.
Yeah, it's kind of tough, man. Don Meredith used to sing on Monday Night Football, turn out the lights, the party's over. And it's kind of feeling that way, right? Five games back of the final wild card spot, 30 games left in the season. You got the Padres, you got the Diamondbacks, and not just once. I think we got both of those teams twice. You're going into Milwaukee starting tomorrow on Tuesday. We're recording this on Monday night like we normally do. I don't know, man. That's a hill to climb. So I think this show is going to be a little more like almost like a what do you call it when you're at a funeral and somebody stands up and just the eulogy, right? I mean, this is kind of like almost feels like a eulogy show, but it's not 100% over yet. On paper, the Giants are still in it. You still have a chance, but I went today and I was like, let me look at the playoff odds right now. The FanGraphs has us at, and we always like to look at this, it's fun. They have us at 3.1% chance to make the playoffs, right? But back to our highest, do you want to know our highest percentage of making the playoffs this season?
No.
Back on my, you don't want to know. Back on, back on March 30th, we were 48.2% chance to almost a 50% chance.
They really liked our offseason.
Yeah. Do you know what our record was on March 30th?
Had the season started yet? 0-0?
We were 2-1.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, we were 2-1. And then it dipped. So you go a whole month or so, May 10th. It dropped to 18.8% chance of making the playoffs, and we were 17-23, six games under 500. Then we went on a little run. 18 days later, May 28th, 45% chance. We're two games over 500. Then what did we do? We went on a losing streak because that's what we do. The 2024 Giants, they're up and down. They're like a roller coaster. They're like wooden roller coasters at the boardwalk, the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk, just up and down. June 4th, 24% chance because we were 29-33. They lost six in a row since the May 28th. June 17th, 36% chance. They were just a game under 500. So they're starting to climb back up. And then June 23rd, 6 days later, 18% chance because what did they do? They lost seven games in a row. So they dropped down to 18.1% chance. Then, from there, July 5th, shot back up to 31%, and that's the highest for the rest of the season. That was June 5th, 44-45. And then when they got back to three games over 500 on August 10th, they only gave us an 18% chance at that point because I think finally the odds makers were like, these guys aren't real. They're three games over 500, but you know what they're going to do? They're going to go on a losing streak. And sure enough, that's what the Giants did. And so 66-66 right now, and a 3.1% chance of making the playoffs. That's a lot of sadness in one season. A lot of happiness because the Giants would go on like a 10-4 run, and then they would lose seven or eight games in a row, and that wipes out your 10-4 run where you get six games over at that point. No, not over 500, but gain six games in the win column.
Yeah.
And then you just give those right back the next week. So
I want to go back 1 month exactly to July 26th. We went, I think we hosted Colorado for a four gamer. And there were moments from here on out where we looked at the schedule and we kind of said, if they're going to make a run, it's kind of got to be now. And I'll go through the series of those schedules. But this is after losing three out of four to the Dodgers. So, boo Dodgers. Dodgers have our number this year.
Yeah, for sure.
The Rockies come into town and we sweep them four games. Even a doubleheader was involved in there. And so then we bring on the A's, and the A's are coming here, and we think, you got to take advantage of this. How many times this season have we said, you got to win two out of three, or you got to sweep? They split with the Oakland A's at home. So then, beginning of August, Reds, we go to Cincinnati. We actually take two out of three, and again, we're like, okay, maybe they've figured some stuff out. Then they go into Washington, and they take, or DC, they take three out of four from Washington. So again, we're kind of going like, this may actually be, they may actually be figuring some stuff out. Tigers come to town. We take two out of three from the Tigers. And then you and I had this conversation on, I believe it was Monday, August 12th. We said, okay, the Braves. This is a team who we are fighting for the last playoff spot, the last wild card. They are here. If we had to go into Atlanta, it'd be a different story. They are here. They need to take 3 out of 4, and at the very least, split. Atlanta takes 3 out of 4 instead.
Yep.
Then we go into Oakland. This is all last week. We go into Oakland. Need to sweep. Nope. Split.
Yeah. That could have been the bounce back right there, right? You take two, you get those two games back from a bad team.
White Sox coming to town. One of the worst teams in the history of baseball. This is last Monday. We were talking about this.
Just bad.
They're just one of the worst teams you're ever going to watch play baseball. They can't do anything. Giants needed to sweep them at a bare minimum. They allow the White Sox to win the third game of this series, and they only take 2 out of 3. They go into Seattle. It's like the Giants looking in the mirror is what it is.
It's the Spider-Man meme, right?
Right.
Spider-Man's pointing at Spider-Man. He's pointing at Spider-Man. So, yeah.
And I would say, if you want to, what game represents who this team is for the entire season? It might be Friday's game.
Absolutely.
In Seattle.
Yeah.
Big lead.
Yeah.
Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Timing wise in the season, I mean, you can go back and look at losses, but timing wise in the season, what it means, that was the worst loss of the season, because you're coming out of that series where you lost again. And that White Sox series was not easy for the Giants either. That wasn't a walkover 2 wins. They didn't win that series convincingly either. They could have lost that series. And then you go into Seattle, having lost that game to the White Sox, you have an off day. You go into Seattle and you have a 5-1 lead in the 8th inning. And so that has to be the absolute backbreaker, worst loss of the. I just sat on the couch. I was watching that. I'm watching, Tyler Rogers get dinked and dunked, and I'm sitting there going, "What in the hell is going on here?" And when is Bob Melvin going to come get him? Because you've got to manage that game like it's elimination game, because it really was. I mean, that I feel like that game right there eliminated the Giants, because then they can go on and lose that series. So
it is not like the last month of baseball was a failure. No, they're actually, counting from the beginning of that Colorado series, I think there's something like 17 and 11. But there were opportunities to actually have like 22 wins or 20 wins or whatever, which would have flipped the season. And instead of being 5 games behind the Braves, maybe we're like 2, right? With this hard part of the season coming up. So, they came out to play some good baseball, but they needed to play great baseball. And now we are at a part in the schedule, and we'll go through this here. We are in late August, and we have 3 at the Brewers, and the Brewers are a 75-win team right now, I believe. Mm-hmm. The Marlins come to town, so it's not too tough there. The Marlins, record-wise, the Marlins are the worst team in the National League, 47-83. So, again, we'll restate it. That's a sweep or it doesn't count, essentially. You just need to sweep that series to have any sort of chance. Then it's all about kind of taking business against the teams that are ahead of you. Diamondbacks, Padres, Brewers, Padres. Again, and then we're into the middle of September, and we see Orioles and Royals, and then D-backs and Cardinals to finish the season. So these next 2 weeks of baseball, actually, I'd say the next 2.5-3 weeks of baseball, we will probably know before then whether or not they have a realistic chance, whether it's a real 3% or if it's like really like a 1% or a no percent. Because those games will bear themselves out. Now, all of a sudden, They look to be a little bit worse for their wear. We know the Hayden Byrne song, and we know the what is the young lefty's name? Why am I forgetting his name?
Kyle Harrison.
Yeah. We know those guys have been up against it for this season. They're going to be inconsistent more than likely, just because they've never pitched this far into the season. And we saw Robbie Ray pull a hammy. That feels like a 30-year-old guy injury to me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just happy. You know, when I saw it happen, I didn't have the sound on. I was helping my parents move this weekend. That's a I'm not a fan of helping people move, but when it's your parents, you do it.
I'm
get a little too old to move things. But so I had, of course, we had unhooked their TVs and everything else the day before. So on Sunday, I had the I just had my iPhone set up and had the sound going while I'm going around the house doing stuff. And I saw the injury and I thought, oh man. And I couldn't see him grab his hamstring initially. So I thought, I really hope that's not his arm, man, because he's, coming back from Tommy John, Robbie Ray throws so hard.
Yeah.
And like you said a couple of weeks ago, I mean, you're waiting for that arm to just pop because of how hard he throws. But medically, these surgeries are an absolute miracle. The fact that these guys can throw as hard as they can afterwards. So when I saw it was his hamstring, I thought, okay, well, maybe a little dehydration, something else, some cramps or something. But it sounds like it's going to be probably an IL stint. And so the little chance you have at five games back with 30 games left in the season, now you've got to figure out, do we add a bullpen game? Do we try to bring up Wizenhunt and see what he's got the rest of the season? Because, at this point, again, five games left, 30 or five games out, 30 games left, you start to say, play the kids. We're already playing like the kids we've got. We don't have many kids left that are ready to come up, but you've got Kaiwei Tang. You've got Mason Black. So you've got some other starters who can fill in. I mean,
they've been bouncing Landon Roop up and down recently.
Yeah, exactly. So, there's ways it can happen and you can fill in, but it doesn't bode well for a solid rotation, best rotation in baseball between now and the end of the season. So it's going to be a little bit difficult now that Robbie Ray is down and out. So
also Patrick Bailey had to go on the DL. He was struggling offensively. Ooh. So hopefully the rest and the healing from the oblique injury kind of wakes up his bat a little bit. Cause it was, you talk about replacement level. It was like below replacement level bat for him. The Giants signed, and I laugh because I'm friends with some Blue Jays fans, and Kevin Biggio, who we talked about the Dodgers picking up, and then they let him go. Then the Giants picked him up. Of course the Giants picked him up. I imagine he will make a debut at some point on the big team. He's in AAA. They had sent Camilo Doval down, and we had a long conversation about why that happened. And it almost seemed like... I don't know, you have kids, but I would imagine your daughters, you don't have to do this very often because they seem like very great humans. But sometimes when you have kids, you got to kind of parent the hard way.
Yes.
And it sounds like this demotion for Doval was literally, they were trying to wake him up and be like, dude, you have not made it yet. You still have stuff to work on mentally, physically. And so they demoted him and he comes back. Ryan Walker's pitching great, so he's not back in the closer role. I imagine he and Walker will kind of tag team that role. But so Doval is back up, and it's like the end of the season, they're doing the same juggling act that we saw in the beginning of the season, and that Farhan and company were just like, just wait till we get all our guys back. And you and I both at that time were like, all right, all these guys that you're expecting to come back, they're all old. And we traded one of the other old guys, Alex Cobb, and we got back Nate the Great Furman as the player to be named later in that deal. Yeah. So, you know,
who was also on the IL with a wrist injury and was hitting 170 in the month. But that's what you get. I mean, you make the trade. So if Alex Cobb goes over there and tears it up, your player to be named later
is better,
a little more high quality. So that's just kind of what you get. So, yeah, with Camilo Duvall, I think it was one of those situations where, and like you said, when you have kids, sometimes you've got to learn the natural consequence way. And so if they're asking him to do a certain something, you know, throw strikes, attack the plate, be faster, be more consistent, and be, you know, be more demanding with what it is that you're doing on the mound. And it just doesn't come around. Natural consequences. Hey, spend a couple weeks in Sacramento. Learn it there if you have to, because we can't have you learning it on the mound where we're trying to fight for a playoff spot. You know, we've got other people who can step up and do that. And it sounds like from everything I've read so far, it sounds like, you know, they're raving about what he did in AAA and how he came back up. And, you know, the other night he went 3-0 to the first batter he faced, of course, and then, you know, intentional walk at that point, but then came back and got, you know, two strikeouts in the next inning. So, you know, if it could be beneficial, because the Giants have control over him to like 2028.
Yeah.
So like 3 more years of arbitration with Camilo Duvall. You don't want to just give a guy like that away, who throws that hard, who's got some nasty pitches, who was an all-star and a closer. You don't want to just give that away. So, you know, you're going to work with a guy like that. And I like to see that.
Yes. And it's not like closers are reliably good trade value. Closers are a little weird. They throw so darn hard. They're often injured. I mean, look at a Diaz from the Mets last year. And that role, because it can be very taxing, especially if you're a good team, that role can, you can use a guy. And then, you know, we saw it with Rob Nen. Remember Rob Nen in 2002? By the end of that season, they were turning off the gun when he was pitching because his velocity had gone down. And he's throwing with like a jacked up shoulder. He's just doing it for the team because they needed him. So, all right. That was a little bit of a sobering look. I think we have been very realistic this year, but look, every year you get excited. We love what Matt Chapman has done. It's been fantastic. We hope he comes back. I have learned to love watching Blake Snell pitch in the second half of the season, and he's been dynamite. Logan Webb has been amazing. Watching Ryan Walker kind of develop into this dependable arm has been awesome. And then what about Eliot Ramos? 20 jacks. Like that is something to mention. That is something to you know, crow about as far as the value that he's provided. It has been fantastic. And as negative as we can kind of be, because we just always have high expectations for this team, you got Chapman with 20. You got Ramos with 20. Ramos is still hitting .284. He's still slugging over .500. You know, as much as we've been down on someone like Conforto, because he is the type of player, at least batting wise, that we just have so many of, you know, kind of low average, middle of the range home runs. But then you got someone like Tyler Fitzgerald, and what a surprise he's been. We did not expect anything from Tyler Fitzgerald outside of utility infielder, outfielder with speed. And then he's gone on and he stole 16 bags when we were kind of wondering if he even knew how to steal bases. So there are some positives, but the negatives have just been outweighing those positives. Like Baby Yaz, he is having the quintessential Baby Yaz season. And we've said this multiple times. If he was your fourth outfielder, he'd be the best fourth outfielder in baseball, but he's not. He's your starting right fielder. Pat Bailey started off hitting wise really surprisingly well, and he's just fallen off. And Lamont Wade, we did a whole discussion on Lamont last year. So you wanted to look at some of the guys who we may or may not bring back next year.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Yeah, so I wanted to throw them out to you just to say, look, I've got six guys that aren't coming back. There's a couple more that aren't also, but they're kind of, you know, bit players, so I'm not going to worry too much about them. But there are, well, let's go with five, because one of them is Kurt Casale, and let's not forget that we are getting back Tom Murphy next year.
Right, and who spent a decent amount of change, chuck and change for as a backup catcher.
Exactly. So Kurt Casale won't be back. So I'm going to take him off the list. He's an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season anyways.
You know, he will be back, though, if Tom Murphy gets hurt again next year.
This is true. And Kurt Casale loves to play in San Francisco, and, yeah, and we like him, too.
We like him. He's a good Giant.
You know, could have had Joey Bart. But
Does Joey Bart really have like 15 jacks this year?
He does. He's actually having a fantastic season, but he did, you know, tweak the hamstring yesterday, so he's going on the IL.
Oh.
And you know why he did is because I picked him up the day before the fantasy because I needed a catcher. So I got one at bat out of the guy.
Oh, man.
And he ran out, tried to run out a ground ball to first and ended up driving in a run, but yanked his hamstring. So I had to go find another catcher immediately.
Shout out Morkatna, by the way. Thank you for the kind words. All right, go for it.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. So I've got five players, and I want you to tell me maybe two. Give me your two out of these five players that are must bring backs.
Okay.
And you don't even have to give me two. You can just give me one if you want, but there's got to be two out of this list. Okay. So number one, I'm going to start at the bottom. Mark Canna. I'm going to start at the bottom. Okay. He's an unrestricted free agent. Got him in a trade. First base, serviceable against left-handers. Good, you know, good right-handed bat against lefties. Michael Conforto is going to be a free agent. We like Conforto. I mean, we don't have much against Michael Conforto. This season, he's kind of, you know, of course, he's up and down, but he's doing his thing. 14 home runs, .232 average. But when he's hot, he's hot. He does have 53 RBIs on the season. His OPS plus is 114, which is higher than Yaz.
Interesting.
Was right about where Jorge Soler was with us. But it's definitely not the highest on the team. But again, unrestricted free agent. Let's look at Robbie Ray. Tweaked the hamstring, but hopefully doesn't keep him out for more than a start or two. He has a $25 million option to stay if he wants to stay next year. I'm not sure how that's going to go. I think it really depends on how the rest of the season goes. If he thinks he can take his small sample that he's got this season and go out and make more than $25 million, I say at this point, more power to him, because I don't know if he's going to get that. Because he can make $25 million next year and in 2026. So there's a possibility he doesn't opt out. But if he does, he's a free agent. Matt Chapman, $17.6 million player option to stay. If not, he is a free agent. We think, you and I have talked about this last week, we think he could probably get more than $17.6 million after the season he's had. And then Blake Snell, player option for $38 million. I've seen two different numbers. I've seen $30 million and I've seen $38 million. SpotTrack has him at $38 million. Baseball Reference has him at 30. So that's just
the only thing I know about that is they gave him a lot of guaranteed money as a signing bonus.
Yes.
So there's something is involved there. That is a really good list. And I think, okay, here's my guess. Like, obviously, it's not our money. We would love for Blake Snell to come back.
Yes.
We enjoy.
But would we though? for how many years? That's the question.
Well,
how many years would you love to have him come back for?
Yeah, 3 or 4 years maybe. But okay, so here,
if he's still seeking the 7 year,
this Farhan will not do that, by the way.
No, he
won't. That's just not his style.
No.
He had a comment based off of Jordan Montgomery's comment. Jordan Montgomery disassociated himself from Scott Boras, and he's got a new agent. Right. And Jordan Montgomery in the just recently was on record as saying how Boras basically screwed it up for him. Now, Jordan Montgomery has not done very well for himself this year. He's having a horrendous year. And so Blake Snell today was quoted as saying that he didn't agree with that statement and he's not sure why Montgomery said that. So that tells me that Blake Snell, he's either okay with how last season happened or he's just very hopeful for this offseason where he's going to be able to make up all of that money that he believes he should have received for his deal. I'm going to guess the Dodgers are going to sign Blake Snell.
Yeah, they're going to be in on him for sure.
Because their pitching staff is in shambles. They have some really good arms, but none dependable. I mean, you're rolling out Clayton Kershaw as like your number two starter right now.
Right.
So my guess is that the Giants are going to be facing Blake Snell in the division next year. I don't know anything other than that just seems like what the Dodgers would do. So I'm taking him off the board because, like you said, I don't think Farhan is going to dole out the years that he wants. So my top two would be Chapman and Ray. And the reason why I want Robbie Ray back is because I think he's got something to prove. I think if you look at his numbers, his hits to innings pitched are awesome. I think he's only given up 20 hits in the 30 innings pitched. Where he adds the base runners is he's walking about one every two innings. So that's where he's given up a couple long balls. But I think next year is like the prove it year for Robbie Ray. So I am actually kind of hopeful that this hammy thing kind of makes teams a little weary about him for next year. And I do hope that he picks up his player option because I would love to see him back. It was really fun for those few moments where we were like, wait, Webb, Snell, and Ray, like back to back to back. And then you throw in one of the young kids in the middle there. So we won't get Snell, but I would like to go into next season with Webb and Ray over just Webb and randos. So I'm hopeful that Robbie Ray does, because I like what I have seen so far. And the dude just competes his ass off, right?
Yeah. That's what I like about Robbie Ray. The one thing I'm not sure about is, does this injury that he just got yesterday, does that help the Giants' chances to have him around next season? Because, I mean, if you look at, if he opts in, he's got $50 million. Does he think he can go out next season and find a longer term deal somewhere? Because that's the thing. Does he want a longer term deal?
I'm sure he does.
I'm sure he does. But does he like pitching in San Francisco? That's the other thing, too. Does he like the cold air in the evenings? Does he like the ball that stays in the yard? He had one rough outing, but that was on the road, wasn't it? Or was that at home? I can't remember.
I don't remember.
But either way, I like his fastball. His slider is just absolutely nasty. And he throws that thing hard against both lefties and righties. He can get both lefties and righties out. He's just, he's a top class pitcher. He's a Cy Young Award winner. And so is Blake Snell. But if I had to have one or the other, I think and again, we have a small sample size of Robbie Ray. We saw him as a Cy Young Award winner in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he pitches, I would rather see him personally for the next 2 years than I'd rather see Blake Snell for the next 2 years.
Interesting.
But that's just me. I like Blake Snell, but he can drive you nuts sometimes. The inconsistency, the walks. I know everybody says, well, that's what you get when you get Blake Snell. Look, if we had to face him against the Dodgers, I mean, the Dodgers could throw, you know, the guy sitting behind the dugout four rows up and the Giants are going to get three hits. It's just our offense. You know what I mean? So hopefully going forward, Farhan can fix that. But that being said, I seeing Blake Snell and the Dodgers would hurt. The big rumor I've heard is that the Padres are going hard after him and he really enjoyed San Diego. So he may end up back there.
That'd be smart, I think, yeah, too. Because
absolutely. Because, you know, I mean, if you can pitch again, if you can stay in the National League West, you're pitching in Petco, you're pitching in Dodger Stadium, you're pitching in San Francisco. Yeah, you got to deal with Colorado. Yeah, you got to deal with Arizona. Arizona is still a big ballpark.
Yeah.
And even when the roof is closed, it's what, 75 degrees in there.
Very nice. Degrees. It's very nice, yeah, in there.
It's very nice. A ball doesn't fly. It's not a crazy, you know, big power ballpark. So you got four ballparks there that you could pitch in that are really nice. You go to the East, you got to deal with, well, one night it might be 42 degrees and then, you know, and then you're pitching in Boston or in New York and then it's going to be, you know, 85 degrees and muggy. And then you got to deal with the, you know, the sweat and the insects and all that good stuff. So he's, and he's a Pacific Northwest guy. So I think he likes this cooler temps, the, you know, a little bit of a drier temps on the West Coast or drier humidity on the West Coast. But yeah, Ray and Chapman, I think those would be my two as well. I would love to see, I mean, Chapman's already said he wants to come back. I would love to see the Giants do some sort of extension right at the end of the season. Don't even let him hit the free agency market. The problem is he's a Boris agent.
Yep.
I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think we're going to see him locked up before he hits free agency. That's just not the Boris way.
Okay, so next year, Can the Giants realistically come into the season with Jung-Hoo Lee in center, Ramos in left, Fitzy at short, and you go two guys who have not even signed a contract really, plus your young center fielder, and then you can take some shots to build around there. And this is where Canna may come in handy.
Yeah.
Not that he's, you know, but he could be a version if, let's say, you know, I think we probably think Lamont Wade is going to come back, but I would hope at a lesser, you know, lesser value, not lesser value, but just his responsibilities on this team. Like, he's not a number two or number three hitter on a big league team. His stats are okay, but a lot of that has to do with him having a really good eye. He does not drive those mistakes that like a Brandon Belt would do. You know, he's going to miss a lot of those pitches. So
right.
I don't want to see him come back as your starting first baseman. If he's your fourth outfielder, great. If he's an experienced DH from the left side and he's not taking up a roster spot of somebody of value, great. But then I start to look at second base, because Tyro had an awful year, injured as well, though. You got to take that into account. And then it's Chapman. If you bring back Chapman, and I have no idea what that's going to be. Let's just say 4 for 100, because it's a nice, easy round number.
Yeah.
You're bringing back him at 4 for 100, and you are mostly bringing him back for the defense, the gold glove defense, and his ability to hit 20 home runs. That is the value that he brings. But he's going to have to be like your number six hitter. He cannot be at the top of the lineup because he just strikes out way too much.
Yeah.
And you're losing opportunities to score when you have guys like that. They have too many guys like that at the top of the order. Like Conforto, whenever he hits high, I'm like, great, 1 for 4 with, you know, six runners left on base. So I think if you tell me that they're going to find somebody to play first who's going to hit with a little bit of power. They're going to figure out second base, whether that's Tyro or not, and they're going to bring in somebody who can play right field, who can hit a little. I am awesome with Chapman 4 for 100. I want him to be here and play that third base forever, if that is the opportunity. But if they cannot find first base and right field, then his responsibility is to be like a 3, 4, 5 hitter. And that is not him. And he is going to fail at doing that. And you're going to be a bad team. So I think if you can fill him in the six hole and you just let him play all-star defense, he is worth the value. He is worth what you're paying him, but he cannot be expected to help your team as much offensively as they expected him this year.
Yeah, he's a veteran piece of the lineup at this point of his career. I see what you're saying, and I'm assuming you would not be excited about a Lamont Wade Jr., Mark Canna
platoon
at first base, right? That doesn't get you excited in any way, shape, or form.
You know, if Mark Canna could hit home runs, I'd actually be fine.
Sure,
because he's a scrappy ball player. He's gonna. Yeah. You know, he's going to extend at bats. He's going to dive into second base to steal a base. Like, he's like that kind of guy. But yeah, if he doesn't hit home runs, that's the problem.
Is and anybody right now is just kind of keeping the seat warm at first base for Bryce Eldridge, probably, right? Because Bryce Eldridge, I don't know if he's going to be a major league outfielder. That's kind of the question too. You know, he's DH first base, but he did play some outfield in San Jose. But, you know, he's got 355 innings this season at first base. No, actually, this entire season, he's got almost 800 innings at first base. Mm. So they're basically just kind of keeping the seat warm for.
Yeah. And he's only 20 next year. If we're right. Probably looking at 2026 is my guess for him, yeah. Which would still be fast. And he hasn't he hasn't had a hiccup at all in the minors yet. So
that being said, do you look and say, hey, Pete Alonso, we'd love to have you come to San Francisco, play first base for a couple seasons. Then you're our DH. When Bryce Eldridge comes up, then you got some pop at first. Then you got some pop at DH. Alonso's having an off season. He only has 27 home runs. He has played in every single game this season, though.
We would love 27 home runs, by the way.
We would take 27 home runs. But the problem is Pete Alonso is a right-hander.
Yes.
At Oracle Park. So does he look at that and go, I mean, I see what Chapman's doing as a right-hander. Does he look at that and say, you know, I could probably get 30, 35.
The issue would be, so Haruku was already talking about, you know, let's dump all these guys and just offer Soto the moon.
He's not leaving New York.
That's the problem that I mean, New York is playing winning baseball. This dude's going to be playing
Judge Soto combo.
Aaron Judge is already, going to hit 60 home runs again. I don't see Soto, unless the Yankees just lowball the shit out of him. I don't see that happening. But, you know, Haruku isn't wrong in that Soto is the kind of guy who you create opportunity for. The problem is, if you chase Soto, and in order to chase Soto, you have to dump Chapman and Conforto and Snell. And if you don't get Soto, like we have not gotten all of these other guys, then the cupboard is bare and those guys may be gone. And then you're starting over again. And maybe
is Soto a Boris guy?
Yes. Soto's a Boris guy.
There you go. So he will sign in February.
Yes.
So you're right. I mean, that plays a big part in it. Who is his agent? It's Scott Boras. So you can't sit and wait and try to land him in February and save your money for one guy and let all these other guys sign somewhere else. I'm sure Farhan has a plan. There's a checklist. There's a board. Like, you and I play, you know, We love our College Football 25 video game. So you have your recruiting board. You have your, you know, plan A's, your plan B's, your plan C's. Like he has said in the past, if you put all your eggs in one basket in a plan A and you have to wait too long, you're going to miss out on all your other plans. So that's really going to be a tough one. They're going to have to, I'm sure they're going to be a suitor. I'm sure, I'm absolutely 100% positive. Yes, I say that he's not going to leave New York. They're not going to let him walk out of there. Boris is going to let him walk out of there. And then they're going to go to 8 other teams, get some numbers, go back to the Yankees and say, yeah, this is what we want. So,
and the Yankees, the last time we went head up with the Yankees, Aaron Judge just used us like snot tissue.
Yeah.
To get that deal. So, well,
and that's the one last point I want to make about that too, is when those players are there and they're available for a trade, you trade for them, because then you can show them, like, yeah, the Yankees did. The Yankees can show him, this is the culture. This is what it's like. This is what this ballpark is like when you're winning and this place is going nuts. Yeah, it's a tough place when you're losing. You got to, yeah, deal with it. But he has played on the East Coast, so that's the whole thing. I mean, he's an East Coast guy. Play there with the Nationals for so many years, and so that's just kind of, you know, I that's why I don't think he leaves New York.
Can Cody Bellinger play right field?
He could, especially at that ballpark. I think he would be an asset at Oracle. I think he would be a really good asset.
That might be a nice fallback plan. Yeah. Is that he's not the dandy of the team, and he just kind of. But you never know. Sometimes players don't like being moved out of positions. That could be a problem.
Yeah, exactly. But then you have two left-handed right fielders, left-handed bats in right field, and then what do you do with Yaz? You can move him. I mean, Yaz is going to be a free agent in 26. So next year he's still under control with the Giants. So,
yeah. All right. So I had one more exercise that I wanted to do, and then we'll do a quick maze moment.
Okay.
By the way, Ryan Walker is our player of the week this week. He had, he pitched some tough innings.
Yeah, he had three games, two saves in those three games, of four innings pitched in the three games, one hit, no walks, 10 strikeouts, and he only faced 13 batters. So his slider was working, and then he had that, you know, two innings that he asked to pitch on Friday night that kind of helped out the Giants, put the Giants in a good spot. And I remember, what was it last week? The visiting team has the advantage when you go into extra innings, mm-hmm, unless you're the Giants. Just don't have that advantage. We didn't do anything with the runner, the ghost runner at second base in the extras. So, yeah.
Okay. So I went to look at all of the seasons that we have been a Farhan led team. Because I was kind of interested. It just feels like late in the season, the Giants have hope because of these wild card spots, and then they kind of die off. And I just wondered if my feeling was correct or if it was incorrect. And so I just went to every single season, so starting in 2019, and wanted to see kind of like what was the high point of the season, and then when were they at 500, and then what did they finish? So 2019, which is Farhan's first year, Bochy's last year, their highest point of the season was two games over 500. So they were playing very close to 500 baseball pretty much throughout the entire season. And the last time they were at 500 was Sunday, August 25th, which is right around the same time that we are in this season. And they eventually finished eight games under 500. 2020 is the funky year with only 50 games. That's Cap's first year. They were 500 with two games left, and then they lost those next two games and they finished two games under 500, and they missed out on the funky playoffs that they had that year.
Yeah.
2021, when I looked back at the box scores and the schedule. What an amazing, incredible season that was.
Yeah.
The playoffs sucked. and the new playoff system and the way that it worked out, it was unfortunate for the Giants, unfair in a sense for both the Giants and the Dodgers. The Giants were 52 games over 500 when that season ended. 52. Gee,
that's insane.
107 wins.
I'd take half of that right now.
So 2022, the Giants started hot in 2022. Mm-hmm. There were 10 games over 500 in June. And by September, they were 7 games under 500.
Yeesh.
So you talk about the summer swoon.
Mm-hmm.
And then they rallied at the end of the season to get to 81-81. So they finished right at 500. They had to win a bunch of games at the end of the season to get there. But the season went like up, down, and then a little bit up again.
And to get back to that, I think they were fighting for a playoff spot actually towards the end there. They were kind of, there was a little bit of a rumble. And that's when that was the Phillies year, right? Where they made all those crazy trades at the deadline and then kind of passed everybody up. Yeah, remember that.
All right, 2023. 2023, which was just last year, the Giants were 13 games over 500 on July 18th. 13 games. And by September 22nd, they were at 500. And by the end of the season, they were 4 games under 500. So, in the last two seasons, the summer months have been very unkind to us. In the first season with Bochy, they were essentially a 500 team pretty much the whole way. So this season so far is very similar to 2019, and we'll see how it ends. You know, I would hope that they make Atlanta work a little bit. The Mets are in front of them as well. 5 games, you know, does it matter if they're 5 games or 10 games or 2 games? No, not really. But if you got to sell some season tickets, it might help to be 2 games back, and you can kind of do that. But some people want them to tank because then they'll get a better draft pick in the first round next year. So that stuff is in baseball. It means a little bit less than it does in the NFL.
It doesn't mean basketball. Anything to me personally.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything to me either. So that is. You know, if there's something to be said about these Farhan teams, as they play, except for that one year, they play pretty close to 500 baseball. And that is, it's okay if in some of those years, you know, you play a little bit better, but it's not great when the expectations are so high and you still play to that. You know, at 50-50 magnet, which is just what they're doing this year. So I don't know. Yeah. You know, they need a star. We know that they need a star. You need to be able to ride a hot bat. You need to be able to ride a hot pitcher. And Juan Soto could be that guy. I would just be so surprised if he, A, if New York let him leave, and B, if he was like, you know what? I'm going to take an extra million and I'm going to leave the Yankees and play somewhere else. Like that, it just seems kind of weird, but hey, you know, maybe that is the case and the Giants do have a shot. But I would go into the offseason with the idea that Soto's a long shot.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we have looked at the free agent list and there's going to be players out there. I mean, Garrett Cole could be a free agent. I mean, there's some players that the Giants could look at and kind of make a run towards. If it's all one in the same, I think there's going to be a problem. I think the fans are going to have an issue if it's just another bunch of one and done deals. But if Farhan could really lock up Chapman, that would be kind of the number one priority, I think. I know we talked about this earlier, but I think the number one priority for Farhan's bridge to the fans and bridge to try to get this team back on the winning track is sign your fan favorite, sign the guy who wants to play here for Bob Melvin and in San Francisco and the Bay Area, and make that happen fast. And I think if you can make that happen and then you can start, you know, everything else starts, the dominoes start to fall, everything else falls in line, I think you're okay there. Somebody did ask in, it was Kamakawi, I can't, I'm having a hard time. It's Monday. Kawakami's mailbag.
His mailbag.
Yeah, they did ask the other day about, you know, is it time for Farhan to possibly be leaving?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it time that, you know, he's kind of run his course? But he's pretty much said, you know, Kawakami pretty much said, after, and this was after the White Sox series and losing that final game of the series, he said he thinks that Greg Johnson and the rest of the Giants ownership group need to see some signs of life and possibility in the last weeks of the teeter-totter season. Not necessarily a playoff berth, but maybe getting to 84 wins, maybe a few more than that, score some more runs, see Elliot Ramos and Tyler Fitzgerald solidifying themselves as good major leaguers playing meaningful games into late September. And he doesn't think he's going to go anywhere just because, again, who else is out there? Where do you start? Where do you start over again? You know, he's built up the farm system. You're starting to see some of the young guys come up and contribute to the ball club. So, and that's what we've been saying. We think he's going to have another couple of seasons to kind of get going and get this team to where he really wants it to be. I mean, the COVID season kind of threw things off. I'm not making an excuse. I know that was 4 years ago, but they really kind of screwed up development of players and also screwed up the farm system a little bit with the draft being so short and everything else. And you couldn't really scout guys during that time. So, but yeah, those numbers, I mean, just looking at those numbers in the second half of the season, that's tough, man. That's a tough pill to swallow because it kind of tells you right now, are we in for a collapse coming here in the next couple of weeks? I know we're pretty much out of the playoffs, but in the next couple of weeks here, are we looking at things getting ugly? Because this team doesn't consistently finish 500, is always a little bit under. But also when you look at it too, I would not be shocked if this team, because the way 2024 has gone, if this team doesn't go into Milwaukee and win that series and then come home and lose the series to Miami. That's just kind of how this season has been. And it sets you up for that beautiful 500 number the rest of the year.
We're getting some feedback in the chat about how Chapman isn't worth a $20 million for his service. And I understand because of the 242 batting average and, you know, 20 bombs, he doesn't drive in a lot of runs. But if you look at WAR, the median dollar value for 1 point of WAR is about 4.4 million. So that puts him up near the 17 and 18 million dollar range just for, you know, just based on his WAR. And his WAR will probably tick up before the end of the season a little bit. So he may not be 20, but according to WAR, he's pretty close. So that is a value. And a lot of that is defense. And I know that that doesn't sit well with Giants fans who are sick of bad offensive baseball teams. I completely get it 100%.
Yeah. If you look at F WAR, which is Fangraphs WAR, he's right at four. He's 19th in the majors. We don't have anybody above that. I could tell you that right now. And we could try to find the next guy, Patrick Bailey at 35. That's not somebody they have to go out and get because they already have him. Tyler Fitzgerald at 53. Again, another guy they already have. So if you take Matt Chapman away from the San Francisco Giants, who do you add to fill that spot at third base that's going to be a high WAR guy in the top 20 in the major leagues?
You know what? That there is... There's a small part of me that would like to see the Casey Schmidt season of hitting 202 with 25 bombs and 225 strikeouts.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of like,
I would be okay with that if they had Pete Alonso at first.
Okay.
Robbie Alomar at second.
Robbie Alomar.
Ozzie Smith at short. I'd be fine. I'd be fine with that. I'd be okay.
All right, let's end the show with our Mays moment. We've been trying. I've been going through John Shea's book with Willie Mays and trying to pick out stuff that I think is kind of fun story-wise that Mays is interested in. So on this little segment of Mays Moment, we're going to talk about Willie, Mickey, and the Duke. All right, so just a few little tidbits about these three players. So obviously Duke Snider playing in Brooklyn for the Dodgers, Willie Mays playing for the New York Giants in Manhattan, and then Mickey Mantle playing for the Yankees. All three center fielders, all three playing in the New York market, all three compared to each other. The Duke was 5 years older than both guys. Mickey and Willie would come into the league during the same season, and so they're very young players playing center field for their respective teams. Mickey Mantle would kind of needle Duke Snider a little bit because of the fact that they were kind of the young and hot new players. And, you know, they're a little bit more famous at the same time. So Mickey would kind of needle Duke Snider about, you know, how he and Willie made more money than him. And so that was kind of a thing. And Mays said when they were retired and they were all doing card shows together, if it was booked as come here and you get to see the Duke, you get to see Willie, you get to see Mickey, all three of these center fielders from New York, they would try to pay Duke Snider a little bit. Yes. And Willie said that he and Mickey would hold out and they would say, nope, you got to raise Duke Snider's pay for this card show up to what we get or else we're not doing it, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Kind of cool that they stood up for each other like that. This is a fascinating thing that I cannot believe actually happened in the history of Major League Baseball. The commissioner, Bowie Kuhn, is it Kuhn or Kuhn?
Bowie Kuhn.
Bowie Kuhn, though I'm sure Mays and Mantle may have called him a different name at this point. Mm-hmm. He banned Willie Mays in 1979 for accepting a job at a casino in Atlantic City. In Atlantic City, it was okay to bet. There were no restrictions for betting. And in Willie's contract specifically, it said he could not bet himself if he was going to take this job. But the commissioner still banned him because he thought it was just a bad look for a former major league player. By the way, he is not playing anymore. He is retired. Right. And so he banned him from baseball. So Mickey Mantle got the same sort of deal a few years later, and the commissioner banned Mickey Mantle from baseball as well. Now, Peter Ueberroth takes over as the commissioner in 1984, and one of his first things is to bring Willie Mays and Mickey Mantle back. He unbans them in 1985, and then the following season is when Willie gets that lifetime contract with the Giants to come back to the team. Mays and Mantle both held each other in high esteem. And before Mantle passed, he was having trouble and he was in and out of the hospital. Willie said that he called him before he died to tell him thanks and how much he appreciated. And Willie did the same. In this book, Willie's just saying, like, look, man, like, we just had so much fun together. We're just constantly talking. You know, they were in that original home run derby that they used to play on ESPN all the time that we probably would have seen 100 times. And every time I watched that thing, I was just thinking, okay, this time Willie's going to beat him. He's got to beat him this time. But nope, Mays goes up 8-2. And in the book, Mays says he starts goofing around because the producers are like, you're going to kill him. And this is bad for the show. It's the debut episode. So then Willie starts goofing around. And then Mickey catches him and beats him in the thing. And so that was a Willie, Duke, and Mickey. And this book is so fun. It's funny because the way that John Shea writes it, he writes around Willie's quotes, and Willie's quotes are all in bold. And whenever I read Willie's quotes, I read them in his voice. And it's just like, I could see him saying those things, right? Because we saw that documentary on Max, and so I'm reading it in like that voice. And so it's a lot of fun. I love this book, and you know, I may not get finished with it by the time that that the season is over, but we'll keep doing these Maze moments because I think they're a lot.
Yeah, I finally started it, and I read the Bob Costas foreword, and I'm a little bit into chapter one. My problem is I read at night. And I'm already ready for bed, and I get into bed, I turn off the lights, I start reading. I get two pages in and I'm asleep. It doesn't matter what book it is, how exciting it is. I need to really like sit down out on the porch with a coffee during the day and read, and then I can get a couple chapters through. So
there you go.
But it is pretty fun so far. I like it.
All righty. We will be back. Hopefully after a successful week. But I'm gonna guess after this week is over, they're going to come back 3-3. That is just my guess.
That, I mean, if this team is anything, it is consistent in terms of winning and losing. They do both exactly the same.
All right. We are done here. We will be back next Monday. So for Brad, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
Peace.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.